G'day guys, welcome to my daily teaching video. In a moment I'm going to do a little weekly Q&A. So welcome to a noisy Jerusalem. We're here in the Jaffa quarter of Jerusalem, having some really interesting looking coffee. Good, hot, strong. And been in Jerusalem now for 3 days. And we're here for another 2 days. We have a service, full day on Sunday, our last day here. We're going to have a worship service on the Mount of Olives, and then a gathering with 1,000 pastors. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, is going to be joining us then. And it's been a really interesting and powerful visit. Keep us in your prayers. We fly out of Tel Aviv literally at midnight on Sunday and arrive in New Jersey on Monday morning. So, long and tiring day, but a good one. Hey, a few other things. New book out. Check it out. Link below. It's out on Amazon. It's called Alive, all about the Zoe life of God. And I want to answer some questions about that subject today. So let me jump into some of those. Number one, what is the Zoe life of God? I've said this a few times already this week, but there are 4 Greek words used in the New Testament to describe the word life. And they'll speak of different things such as just general life, like animal life, the fact that something is alive versus dead, a manner of life, a lifestyle, like a culture. But there's also a word that's only ever used for the life of God, a word called Zoe, which literally speaks of God's eternal life, which cannot die, life which is the source of all life. In him was life, in him was Zoe, that life was the light of men. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus, a guy who's dead, and he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me, even though he dies, yet will he live. So Jesus comes to give us life, to quote Star Trek, it's life, Jim, but not as you know it. Life in a completely different way. And God's life conquers all death. God's life conquers sickness and disease. God's life cannot ever be attacked by any little thing. God's life conquers everything. So that's what Zoe life is. Okay, question number 2. What does it mean to be dead in our sins? Well, God said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. The Bible says the soul that sins will die. So in effect, noisy tram going by here. In effect, the whole of mankind is dead. Are we alive? Are we physically alive? Yeah, but we're dead in terms of our connection with God. We're dead in the sense we're separated from God. God gave us life when he created us. The Lord breathed into Adam the breath of life, but Adam and Eve literally died the day they sinned. Now, they didn't die initially physically, but you know, in the same way, if you take a fish out of the sea, does it instantly die? No. But out of the sea, a fish begins to wither and die. And we physically, really from the moment we're born, we're on a journey into the grave. And soulishly as well, separated from God, we are dead people walking. And Jesus comes not to improve our life, but to literally raise us from the dead. And he comes to give us life in our spirit. We often talk about being born again, being a new creation, but what really happens when we're born again? It doesn't happen to our body and it doesn't happen to our soul. It actually literally happens to our spirit. So to be outside, disconnected from God, is literally to be dead, to be brought back into relation with him, to be grafted with him. When Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You know, if you cut off a branch from a tree, let's say, it's still green, it still smells nice for a while, but it will begin to wither and die. And literally, Jesus has connected us back into himself. He's the vine with a branch, and the very life that's flowing through Jesus right now flows through every Christian. Boom. Okay, question number 3. If this is all true, why don't we experience it? If it's true, we've got the resurrection life of Jesus in us, then why don't we experience that life in the way God wants us to? It's a really great question. Okay, I would say this. Number 1, The Bible says again and again, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You'll know the truth. The truth you know will set you free. So we have God's life in us right now, but we actually do need to know about it. We need to come to God's word. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So we find out about the life we have when we read the word of God. No knowledge about God's life, you don't have it. And secondly, I think we encounter God's life through faith as well. We've actually got to believe God. We've got to appropriate. We've got to engage our faith. Everything Jesus had, he gives up at Calvary's cross. And yet everything he gave up at Calvary's cross is yours and mine. But we've got to literally learn to appropriate and receive those things by faith. So we don't get them automatically. They don't simply drop on us like cherries on a tree because we're Christians. We've got to believe for them. So we've got to believe for his life in us, got to believe for his life through us. We've got to believe to experience the life of God in this life right here and right now. Okay. So I had another question here. Does DNA prove the existence of God's life and how? I would say yes. There was an famous atheist called Carl Sagan. Famous in the 70s and 80s. He's dead now and a great guy, cosmologist, studied the universe. He had a show, I believe, in the 70s and 80s that was really famous. And he was the one who came up with this idea, and it was actually really true what he said. He said, if we ever discover information out there in the universe, it will prove the existence of extraterrestrial life. He said, information, even if we can't understand the information, information is proof of intelligence. And he was actually one of the founders of a government project called SETI in the United States, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And right now, ever since that time, they've had radio telescopes pointed out in the universe looking for signals from outer space. Carl Sagan wrote a book and they made it into a movie in the 1990s called Contact, starring Jodie Foster. And it was about a lady in the 90s, you know, fiction obviously, who discovered a signal coming from outer space. And of course they could decode the signal. I think there was a signal of prime numbers coming from outer space, which can never happen by accident. All of the prime numbers. So it proved information is proof of intelligence. But what this guy Sagan had never thought through and discovered at the time was when they decoded the DNA, you know, in the human genome, in animal life, it is teeming with information. There's more information in one strand of DNA in your body than there is in all of the libraries in New York City put together. So if information, if random matter and energy can't produce information, then where did the DNA in our bodies come from? Because there is incredibly detailed, ordered information in us. So I would say, yeah, DNA is a proof of intelligence. Who made us? God made us. We didn't make ourselves. Boom. Let's do one more question here, but why is resurrection so important to Christianity? The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, this whole thing is in vain. Jesus wasn't a great teacher, wasn't another prophet, a wise man. You know, if Jesus, the whole of Christianity, it's interesting, the early church never really celebrated the birth of Jesus. You know, it's a big thing for us, Christmas. Resurrection was everything. And in a very real sense, here's why resurrection's important, because Jesus didn't die so we could live. Jesus died so we could die. It sounds weird to us, but one of the greatest gifts he ever gave us was to kill us, was to take that old nature, that Adamic nature, that old man, and nail it to the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus died, we died. When Jesus was buried, we were buried. Now for us, that's symbolized by baptism, being buried in the waters of baptism, we're raised to newness of life. And when Jesus rose, we rose. When Jesus ascended, we ascended. And when Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father, we are seated with him. So in a way, the whole of mankind is a dead species when it comes to God. We can't be renewed, we can't be reformed, we can't be tweaked, we can't be energized, we can't be, you know, God can't do any patch-up, fixer-upper job on mankind. All he can ever do is raise us from the dead. So it's really important we realize we've been a resurrected person. When you became a Christian, your habits are still the same, your unrenewed mind's still the same, your body's still the same, your understanding, your education, your IQ level is still the same. The one thing that happened to you when you got born again is you became a resurrected person. And I think we should actually look at ourselves through that lens and literally say, yeah, I'm an alive person. I once was dead. I now am alive in Jesus' name. Guys, thanks for watching. Again, check out my new book, Alive, How to Experience the Resurrection Life of Jesus, available on Amazon. And I'd love to hear from you. Send me a prayer request, comment, whatever. Try to get back to you real soon. Have a blessed day wherever you are in Jesus' name. Blessings from Jerusalem.